Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Bartlett Public Library District, Monday, June the 16th at 7 p.m. Call to order, please.
Maloney?
Here.
Fishman? Fishman?
Here.
Boyer?
Here.
Lucaro here. Olson?
Here.
Barry?
Here.
Haney?
Here. Pledge of allegiance. I know, I keep wanting to turn around. Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have any town hall? Okay, before we go into our consent agenda, I want to move right on to our action items, and we're going to switch it up a little. We'll start with the property and casualty insurance.
So Estelle Markham is our insurance broker.
Yes.
From?
Relation Insurance.
Relation Insurance.
Formerly CAM Insurance.
If you want to come up and join us at the table.
Sure.
Yep, the things are still going. So in your packet is a proposal from two different companies.
Correct.
Because originally we had a proposal from a company that would not cover our very coveted book bike.
Correct. They would cover the bike. They didn't want to cover the staff member riding it.
Riding. So, yeah. So now you went back and got another quote.
Correct.
And so from my understanding, the Utica does cover the book bike riding exposure.
Correct. Correct. So they were willing to cover the exposure. Hanover was not. So they were, I was just going to have them quote the work comp, but I said, well, you're willing to do this, quote the whole thing, plus we wanted it to be included under the umbrella. So they came in with the proposal, which you may all have already looked at, and their pricing is very competitive. There are some nuances to the different parts of the property insurance, like the sewer drain backup and the property deductible. But overall, fairly similar everywhere else. So I guess it comes down to the book bike and that exposure and, you know, the trade-offs involved with having that covered under the Utica plan.
I have a question in regards to the way that I read what you had put together.
Yeah.
Not the proposal, but the cover indicated to me that they were willing to cover based on a very limited use.
Correct.
And that suggests to me that we have to schedule and tell them the events, the number of events?
No, Carolyn had given me an estimated number of times that this might occur, and I shared that with them. So it doesn't need to be scheduled. They are aware. Now, if it turned into an everyday thing, then they might want to know that. But as of right now, I was led to believe it was more random in nature, and they're perfectly fine with that, and it does not need to be listed or scheduled on the policy.
So nothing that says up to, like up to 10
no,
times?
No, it doesn't. There's no limit. There's no limit.
Okay.
Yeah.
No?
Okay. So I noticed that Utica had agreed in their policy to cover up to $500,000 for cyber liability, which over the $100,000, which I think in this day and age makes a lot of sense.
Oh, for sure.
I think federal law penalties can be up to $1,000 per person affected by disclosure protected information. I also, though, noted that there is a limit on the coverage for general liability insurance that's lower for Utica.
Right. So most general liability policies provide a $1 million per occurrence limit, $2 million aggregate, and then any additional coverage above and beyond that is addressed in the umbrella liability. So you can get a million, 5 million, 10 million. So that helps cover the additional, you know, limits that you desire. Now, when we went with Hanover, at the time, the library was more interested in a 2 million per occurrence, 4 million aggregate limit, and some companies can do that on their standard GL policies. Utica cannot, but they said they'll adjust the umbrella any which way the library prefers. But they do not offer that 2 million, 4 million. Some companies do it, some don't.
Okay, so, but we'd be covered under the umbrella.
Exactly.
For the total.
In total,
up
right.
Up
right.
To their limit.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That was my question.
Yeah.
And the medical expenses, theirs were half.
So the medical expenses provide the library coverage should there be an incident at the library where the library's not held legally liable, okay? Because general liability kicks in if, you know, someone files a suit against the library and it protects the library for their legal liability. But oftentimes or sometimes an event may occur where it wasn't due to the, you know, negligence of the library, but, you know, kid hurt himself and he has, you know, some $200, $300 expenses. And you may get approached and say, hey, will the library pick this up? That's what this does. I call it goodwill coverage because the library doesn't have to be found negligent or legally liable. It's just, okay, we'll pay these bills because it happened at our location.
Do you require or suggest, or maybe we have, a waiver that somebody signs prior to using the bike? Because
well, the bike is back the way, on the
this
bike.
Is about anybody on the property.
Right. No, I'm talking about the bike.
Okay,
I'm
back
sorry.
To the bike.
What? Right, back to the bike. Do we need to have a waiver policy if we don't already have one for anybody to sign?
Well, that's an attorney question, but you could do that, but sometimes those don't always hold up in court.
I know, I understand, but I wanted your feedback on it.
Yeah, I mean, it never hurts to, you know, put risk mitigation factors in place.
But I think that the important thing is that we did research, we looked out to other libraries, and we found out that most libraries require training. And so we came up with a list of really good, solid training resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, when Utica heard that, they said, great, you know.
Definitely.
So I would not want to have anybody sign a waiver because I think that it just, you know, I mean, if we're hiring for an outreach person, they should be outreach and ride the bike, you know.
But you could always run it past your attorney.
Yeah, I think a waiver is worth asking the attorney because it's the first line of kind of like protection.
Definitely.
That's how I see it.
Definitely. No, like I said, any risk mitigation procedures the library puts in place for anything is always a good
correct.
Thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions? Trustee Olson?
No, I was going to make a motion.
Oh.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the quote from Utica in the amount of $31,330 for our general liability and workers' comp and other coverages.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that.
Any more discussion?
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Estelle, thank you so much. I do have one question. When will we receive the bill? It will have coverage July 1st.
Oh, definitely.
Do we have to pay the bill before July 1st?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'll have Amanda get that over to you.
Yeah, I just want to make sure because we're watching our budget and wanted to make sure we weren't anticipating any unforeseen
No, you're good.
Checks, okay. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for allowing me to be here. I appreciate it.
Appreciate all that you do.
Thanks.
I just want to make sure I have enough money.
I don't want you to tell them. We want it before July 1st.
Yeah, can we get it before July 1st?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Next down, we're going to move on to the proposal from Product Architecture to complete the drawings and the renderings for a new building on our existing property.
They have to vote on that before they decide on the US, right?
That's okay.
So we're just going to go off of our...
Well, Mr. Sullivan is here, so I want to do the product architecture, and then I want to do Mr. Sullivan.
Okay, so my question is...
So nobody is here from Product Architecture. I was directed to get a proposal to do drawings for a new building on the existing property. I confirmed with Dan that it does not make us go back to the very beginning. They will take all of the information that they've gathered from the community. They'll take information gathered from the survey, from the staff, from the board, and then they would meet with the board again and with the staff again to talk about options for a brand new facility, and that would cost $14,000.
I'd like to I'm the one that asked for this. I'd like to make a motion to accept the proposal from Product Architecture.
Have a second?
A second.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, for the budget, how does that affect the budgetary numbers that we have, this additional $14,000 expenditure? Which
In the
would
budget,
that be pulled from?
I have $80,000 set aside for planning consultants.
Okay.
For the new fiscal year.
Okay.
I'd like to express why I think this is important. Ultimately, if we're going to do something substantial, we're going to have to go to referendum. However, this does not say that we're making a decision that we're going for a referendum for a new library. It gives us the option to do that, and it gives the information that would be necessary for EOS to conduct the work that we would need to do. I think that a $14,000 investment plus another $3,000 for updating from SMS of the costs of actually the building is a good investment in order for us to reach the best decision for our community. In terms of what we do from a referendum standpoint. Right now, the two options, I don't see being adequate because number one, the simple remodeling actually takes space away from the public. It does provide more space for the staff, and it doesn't address the fact that we are woefully small for our size population that we're serving. Our architects have estimated that we're about 19,000 square feet short of what we should have for a community the size that we serve. The second option of adding 7,000 square feet still leaves us 20% short of where we should be. And I think that we need to at least have the information to make a decision because I think that with a full layout and input from the community, we're going to see a much different ability to serve our public and to provide a environment that's inviting for people to come to. I honestly find the structure of our current building to be a little depressing because it's kind of outdated. It's not what I personally would like to see, so.
It's homey.
Joe, I'll agree with you on that. I think having as much information as possible, as long as we have, you know, that budget that you mentioned, I think this is really the smartest play to have all options available to us. And we may find that that is the option, we may find that it's not, but I think to have that available is necessary and worth it.
And I think when Product Architect was here last month and the different views and options he showed us, it came down to where we were still short. We were still short of that, what, 20,000? And if we're looking to do something and we want that momentum for future, we're looking for future, setting those stones in the ground and moving forward for the future, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth evaluating and looking into it.
So the idea of planting a tree then under the shade that you'll never sit, you know, preparing for the future.
Sorry, she said that was deep.
So, any more discussion? Thank you for that, Joe. Can we have a roll call, please?
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
After Boyer.
Boyer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're answering for Boyer?
Her voice changed.
Monica! Wow! Have a baby and boy, that voice changed.
But I was also voting no.
Okay. Bucaro, no. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
No.
Danny?
Yes. So where do we stand?
Motion carries.
Four, yes.
Yeah, motion
four,
carries.
Three.
Motion carries.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
And next, proposal from the E.O. Sullivan Consulting for Custom Engagement Program. Good evening, sir.
Hello, Mr. Ed.
Hello.
How are you? I just want to mention to the trustees that I did run the contract past the attorney. He did have an addendum, so Mr. Sullivan was kind enough to add the wording from the library attorney, and it's included in the updated version that is the paper copy in front of you. So, Mr. Sullivan, thank you for coming here. Thank you for working with us on the phone survey, and we all have had a chance to look at the proposal, but if you wanted to kind of talk about your offerings, what you do, how you can help us.
Sure. Well, the proposal is a custom proposal to help engage your community to get you the facts to make competent decisions. Obviously, Mr. Olson has discussed, how do we go about getting these decisions proper as we move forward to make these decisions. Do we want to renovate? Do we want to addition? Do we want a new building? Our job is to get you those answers. And so this proposal, every proposal we do is a custom proposal to the client. We have ideas on what works. We put those out so you can see something from a deliverable and a time frame perspective. That's what you see here today. Should you hire us, we will come in and work with your staff to do what we think is the best job to get the decisions, to get the answers that as a board you should have prior to making a decision sometime in January, whether you would go in March or, if that's not, or not go to referendum.
Don't we have to go by December to get
it? It might be December.
Yeah, it's December.
It might be December. I can't remember the exact time. Yeah. Maybe third week in December is, I think, exactly.
It's approximately 90 days.
It's 90 days before the election. Right. So roughly, I keep remembering back when we changed the referendum date, and so things have changed year in and year out, so it does change. So what we have is a two-phase approach to first really talk about messaging. Like anything, this is a political in nature. You want to tell the story. Tell the story of the library. Why are you here? Why are you trying to engage the public and ask for them? You want to explain what are the challenges. And then we're going to talk about options for, you know, addressing those challenges. And so we'll get you that data. After each phase, we will come back to this board, like you saw us with the survey, and discuss those. Ultimately, the administration and the board will get the data to make a confident decision whether to move forward, whether to hold off, whether to do additions, new library, costs. That's our job. Just like your architect is going to get you new plans, we will work with them and have worked with them. So hand in hand, the two companies will be working together to finalize options. Should you then decide to move forward, we will work with your bond counsel to make sure that the wording is appropriate. State law is pretty specific, and so I'm not here to tell you that we're going to change state law and what can be put on there. But typically, especially if you're working with Chapman and Cutler, who does most of bond counsel or bond referendum work.
Is that Chatham?
Chatham and Cutler.
Chatham and Cutler. I spoke with our attorney, and he said that we don't have to go to an RFP for a.
Correct.
We
That's
could
a
just
services
get quotes
based.
And,
correct.
Yeah, okay.
95% of units of local government use Chapman and Cutler. Okay. They're kind of the premier. They know our approach. We will be able to try and use favorable language. The idea of going to the public is leading with your strengths, and so we want the public to tell us what they think. We know right now that they like youth spaces. They know they like technology. We know that they like different things of that nature. And so we will obviously take what you guys have already authorized, because it's still valid, and build plans around that. And then the bond council will write this question. We will help tweak it to make sure that the public knows what is on there and what they've already talked to us about that we've conveyed to you to make these decisions. So that is, in essence, the plan. More detailed, we will do messaging. As I said, you want to lead, you want to talk about the, you know, why we're here. We will have a community committee made up of all the folks that are within the community. We don't just want patrons. Patrons are great, but patrons can, you know, sometimes skew things because, you know, they're here and they see the problems. They want it. They have a better understanding. So we want the deeper public to be a part of this. We have a document we will obviously share with you guys to say, here are the types of people that we would like. And we will put them on this community committee. That is a data point. People that are going to come in, we can see over time, you learn a little bit about what the problems are and the solutions, and over time, how did your ideas change or not change. We will go to the public. Those that would come out to a another data point. Those that would come out to an event, 8 o'clock at night or Saturday morning, or go online, we will offer a virtual option to see a presentation, to learn about what's going on with the library, learn about why we're engaging the community. So these various data points will collate together and build a picture on where your community stands with the ideas and how to move Bartlett Library forward. All that will be put in reports. We will make sure that we come to you. Either I will come here or Colin will come here. You don't get staffers, you get the owners of the company to make sure that everything is done correctly and that you can feel good about your decisions. Now, the other thing I will say is, let's say you choose not to go to a referendum. We're going to get you some information that the community is telling us that they want to see within this library. And so let's say, you know, the referendum's not in the books. This information is still valid as you move forward and you plan out your budgets on programming spaces, on different things that they're looking for. So either way, we believe that Bartlett is going to be on a better path going forward, should you use this. Hopefully that helps, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
I have a question.
Sure.
I know you go to referendum, people look at winning or losing. I'm looking at it, okay, there's a lot of people who are not patrons of this land, but they pay for it.
Correct.
And every year, boom, it's coming out, you know, they get hit with it. How do you contact those people that aren't patrons?
Sure. Well, there's multiple ways. First off, when we put together, we're going to put together a program of 3 to 5 meetings where we will put a presentation together and invite people here. You could put it in your newsletter to get people out. That's going to go to the general public. You could put it on your website, email. You could do some paid outreach, so if you wanted to do some texting to the community to say, hey, here's what's going on, you could do a postcard. I'm talking about what other units of government that have hired us have done to reach out to get people to those meetings. And so that's paid outreach. That is, just so you know, that's not included in our proposal, but if you choose to do that, we obviously give you the best prices that we get as a company and pass those cost savings on to you guys. So lots of ways to get to it, but obviously there's going to be a lot of people that might not use this. One of the things we like to do in our community committee is go to the realtor community and find someone from the realtor community to come and sit on these community committee meetings. Why do we do that? Well, we know that whether it's schools, libraries, or so forth, a library enhances the value of property within a community. A good library really helps a community, and that is what realtors have told us. And so we try to make sure the realtor community is engaged. Your senior community will engage that we know uses these. This, when we did the survey, we saw that youth spaces really came in high. And so how do we do outreach to young families? And so those are things that we can help you with. And hopefully that answers your question on how we get that out. Now, part of our program is taking you from beginning to end. Beginning is you hire us, we start the process, we go through the two phases. The board makes a decision to move forward or not. Let's say the board decides to move forward. We then stay with you, though, and we help run an engagement program, an education program. So legally, a board, a unit of a local government, is not allowed to run a campaign. That is illegal. You cannot use government sources, and we will actually give you do's and don'ts. This is something, we have a two-company policy, our two-company system. We have core strategies that runs a political campaign. E.O. Sullivan will always stay with you. During that education program, once again, we'll give the administration a list of things that they can do. We'll do more open houses, things of that nature. That is included in our cost structure, staying with you from the minute the board votes all the way to election day, helping engage the community on an education campaign. Once again, there are some paid outreach things that can be done depending on the budget, what you want to do. We will give you, and I can give you a sample program tomorrow if I already have it in prep, of things that can take place. And once again, we would work with the administration. Obviously, the administration would work with this board on what is appropriate, what isn't appropriate, and we go from there. Yes?
So years prior, when they did the renovation that was completed in 2015, I did talk to some of the people that were on the board at that time, and they did, in the Bartlett newsletter, they put the survey in there, so it was recognizable, and then people could drop it off at the library. Is that something that is positive, or do you think it may not be recognized in addition to other things? And how do you know that people aren't going to duplicate, anything?
Well, one of the things that we will do is we will put questions in phase one. We will put questions on your website on things that we want to hear about from the public as it relates to this. Our company specializes in outreach to other units of local government, to your what we call key influencers. So I'm a former state legislator. I would never want to go to the Jewel and someone says, hey, did you know Libertyville Library is having a referendum, and not know about it. So one of the things that we'll do is we will do outreach to your key influencers, business leaders, church leaders, county board members, mayors, things of that nature, to make sure that they know about this. While we do that, we would also, and this is something you guys can do as well, is get them to say, hey, can you put it in your newsletter? Can you do outreach for us? A lot of times people will. Maybe they won't. I don't know. I'll have to find that out should we go down that path.
We have really good partnerships with all of our governmental entities.
Sure.
That would be up to their board to decide what they
dealing with the municipality with a client right now. It's been wonderful working with them. So
I remember the Village of Bartlett did something recently. We got something in the mail that you could fill out. It was some kind of a survey in reference to how do you think the Village of Bartlett is doing? How do you, it was a questionnaire, and then you got to turn that in or complete it online. So that was a really good way, because not everybody is on the internet.
Sure.
There's, we have various age groups, and we have people that still don't have computers in their homes.
Yeah, depending on what you're trying to accomplish, a simple survey like that is good to just gain information. Sometimes it's good to just, have communications with the public to show that you are trying, that you do want to know their information. it's a little different than the survey we do, because the survey we do, we're trying to get scientifically accurate. And so scientifically accurate doesn't allow for mailings like that, because we then can't peg that to your demographics. And so that's a little different, but still not, and we can run those. We can do those for you if that's the direction. But that's great.
So years ago, I remember when the fire district passed their referendum, and the chief of the fire department, Chief Felice, did an amazing job. He had an information kit, you know, kind of speech, and he went out and he, as the chief, went to all these different organizations, Rotary, Lions, all, you know, and so would that be the role of the director then?
It will be the role of someone.
Okay.
We will have that discussion on who we think is the best to do that outreach, but yes, we call...
But that would be somebody from our staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Or your board.
Okay.
It could be either, whoever feels comfortable making these discussions. Now remember, there will be the education track that E.O. Sullivan, and then there will be the political track. In both sides, you will want what are called ambassadors. We want key influencers, key people that are part of either your administration, your board, or on the political side, obviously separate from what you guys are doing, to be reaching.
I don't understand that. Can you explain that to me?
Sure. So core strategies, Colin, would peel off and help organize volunteers to run a campaign, if you will. And that has nothing to do with you guys. You can't pay for it. You can't touch it. You could be a part of it, technically, on your off time. You probably shouldn't. But
that's okay.
We are hypersensitive of anything dealing with government resources being part of any political campaign. That is specifically why we have core strategies that does the politics, and E.O. Sullivan does the governmental side.
Okay.
Very specific on how we handle things. And we've never been tested, never had a problem in over 24 campaigns.
Okay.
So yes, but key influencers, ambassadors, doing exactly what you talked about. The chief did a great job, obviously. You want a figurehead that is known in the community to go and that's trusted, that can talk about why we need this, why does it help. But one of those ambassadors would be the realtors. Why wouldn't they want a nice library? I come from a library family, so I'm very passionate about this. So it's great. Yes?
Real ballpark, what kind of costs are we talking about for materials and that sort of thing? If we get to the point where we're actually pursuing a referendum?
Bartlett Library, I mean, we'd have to look at the numbers. A primary campaign is lower turnout than, say, a fall campaign, or it's a little bit more than a municipal campaign. And so it's your middle number, because we would be reaching on the campaign side, you know, probable voters. For you guys, we would do everybody within the district. And so it's a little higher than your campaign. You know, I would say $5,000 to $6,000 for a mailing. Texting is much cheaper than that, maybe $250 for a texting campaign. A postcard, even less than that. A lot of times what we like to do, and we've done it in almost every single referendum we've had, maybe 90%, we like to put together what's called a full details mailer. So it's 2-3 pages, goes out to your community, that explains what's on the ballot. It's obviously from the education side, it's not, you know, yes, vote no, you know, here's your information, here's why we're doing this. Here's some pictures of what we have, what it could be. We would come up with that, and I certainly can send what we did with Roselle Library and so forth.
I think
did we already send it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are general estimates. It just kind of depends what your budget is and what you want to do. We found that texting campaigns with links to your website are very informative. But like I said, I think your bigger mailer that we would suggest, but once again, it's not necessary, is about $5,000-$6,000.
How many libraries have you done again? I know
We've done one.
Just one.
Yes. We're currently talking to another one up north. But once again, this program we have is not unit of government specific. We started this. I understood the challenges for education and how they have to pay for their infrastructure. Obviously, they have to go to referendum. They can't do it with their regular budget. Being in the General Assembly, sitting on Revenue Committee for 14 years, that was the that's what started my business, is knowing that Colin and I have the expertise, and it's been very successful. But that program works for no matter what we do, whether it's a village, unit of local government. We've typically done schools, though.
Which one up north?
I know that we did a workshop in Round Lake Park, I think, came in. Maybe they just lost one. And they just lost. And so we typically get called when a unit of government loses. believe it or not. I mean, I don't know why that is. Well, I know why that is, because our system works. But, yes.
And then just to let the board know, we did put $10,000 extra in marketing for mailings or flyers or whatever
sure.
we needed to help this campaign, this education campaign.
Yep.
I have a question. How do you reach the people that the language barrier could be an issue?
Happy to do either way we'd like. Typically, you have Spanish as the speaking. We've done Polish. We've done Russian. We will convert anything we need to convert into a alternate language, whether that be mailing documents or a presentation. We brought in interpreters. That's clearly going to be an extra cost, but you know, happy to. I guess I could say we have done this and we know how to reach out. Should that be something that you choose to do?
Some people speak another language, and it's easier for them to read their language. So, like people who understand and speak Arabic, it's easier for them to read a contract in books in Arabic if it's a common language for them. They still can read, you know, regular print, but the flow of it is easier. So, if something comes out, do they have an option to click and change the format, or how do you know if you're emailing?
Anything online, I guess there are tools to take a document and convert it to things, but that would be something that someone could pick up from Google
or other things. So it's not something in your format. They can do it. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else?
I would like to make a motion to accept the proposal from EO Sullivan for this project to help us with our evaluation and communication to the community regarding our needs and what their feedback and resulting direction might be.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Mulroney?
Yes. Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
No.
Daney?
Yes.
Thank you. billing, we can bill any way you want. We can do it in this budget year, next budget year. Typically, we bill at the end of the month based on the deliverables within the contract so the public can actually see what was done and the board.
Yeah.
But with that said, however you want to bill.
Okay, don't bill us until after July 1st.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then it would be July 31st because we did it at the end of the month.
And I will call you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you all.
Bye now.
Let's start at the very
beginning.
Let's just start.
Can we have everybody join?
Going back to page one.
A, B, C.
When we sing, we begin with
no rain.
Who's up first? I don't know. Third base. Do we have any town hall? Okay. So moving on to our consent agenda, items to be included are, as you can see, minutes from the May 19th regular board meeting, minutes from June 7th committee of the whole, the approval of the bill list from June 16th, the approval of the transfer of funds from the now savings account to the checking account, June 16th, No, the transfer of funds, $300,000. The approval of May 31st financial report, designation of two trustees for the July monthly bill approval, and travel reimbursement. Now,
I'd like to move to remove item 1A, the minutes of the May 19th, 2025 board, regular board meeting.
Anyone else for anything else? Okay. Trustee Olson, let's go ahead and go.
Yes. I want to amend those minutes. The last full paragraph on the last page, the adjournment vote, by correcting the vote, I voted yes. If one listens to the tape, that's the only correction that I'd like to see made.
That's your motion. I'll second that.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Okay. Malumi?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Okay, now, 1B through G.
I'll make a motion to approve B through G.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Lucaro? Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Next, the consideration. Oh, no, never mind. We already did that, and we did that too. So, two and three. We're good. Correspondence, that memo regarding the opioid medication and training the library staff.
Dave Barry. I'm going to defer to him because he has an update on this.
Yeah, at the meeting last Thursday, the Illinois State Library Advisory Board Committee, Greg McCormick, who's the director of the State Library, was talking about this. And right now, it's only applicable to libraries covered by the Local Libraries Act, not public libraries, not us yet. But he expects that there will be an amendment made, and libraries should be covered. Also, public libraries should be covered. And there's language in the Act about, first of all, I was thinking about the cost of providing this medication. And there's language in the Act that this county health department could provide the medication. Because that, the way they explained it, I can see in many communities they could be using this medication over and over and over again. It could become quite expensive. If we could reach out to DuPage Health Department and Cook County Health Department and see if we have to cover this, if they could provide us with the medication as a way of saving some funds. I also recall reading the Act that the public library's employees would not be responsible for any malpractice or any negligence. If something happens as a result of this, that public library employees would not be move any liability. But as we get more information, I'll pass that along.
I don't have much knowledge as far as the opioid medication, but are there expiration dates on these?
I believe so.
And so you wouldn't want to have a volume of them in-house. Because they would go bad. And secondly, if I can put all of you on the spot, how do you feel as far as if you had to be the responsible one to administer any of them? I mean, are you willing, or are there certain departments where we need to say, okay, Phyllis, you're going to be upstairs and you're going to take care of the little ones.
The children, I hope. Yeah. Right.
I how do you feel about, you know, being liable? Or do you feel that you would be willing to go ahead and administer? And I see Sandra, definitely. I know that you would be willing to.
I think we all have different levels of comfort with it. I personally have no problem. I would love to be trained on this and have no issue. But
sure.
I know some of the other managers.
And I wouldn't make anyone that feels uncomfortable do it. I don't think that's fair, but
I also think that there's an education level, right? Knowing really what the medication is and risks, factors with
how
that, how to administer it, things like that. And with education and training, maybe people who are hesitant at the beginning will feel more comfortable to do it in the future, right? Like, I've never had to use like an AED device. But
yeah, and we have
like
that,
the AED.
Exactly. Even like a fire extinguisher when I was in grad school, that was like a training. And I was like, I've never used a fire extinguisher before, but just being able to try it, like, I felt more comfortable doing that. So I think the education and training comes.
There's another thought, a couple of thoughts. First of all, if we have it, you'd have to have an employee at all shifts to be able to do this. The second thing, I'm not sure if somebody comes in and says, listen, my husband is in the car and he's very bad off. I can administer and give them the drug. I don't know it. And someone mentioned you also have to be careful of people coming in one day, come in the next day, get another one, another, if they're not just selling it on the street.
Well, my concern would be,
you'd be giving it to them.
You have to admit, but my concern would be somebody coming in and telling me to go to their car. I don't think
you can do that. They could be having a heart attack. You can't be giving it.
I don't know. Exactly. I at Aurora, we have like the little canister, like a cabinet, mm-hmm. like in the lobby, and people just help themselves. And I don't think it's been abused. I shouldn't say abused, but things aren't being missed. People grab what they need to grab, and that's it. And like, we haven't, from what I know, like, had to administer anything.
What about kids? What if kids just come in? They park their bikes outside, or sometimes they bring them in, and they see this. So it's not in a locked area or behind the desk.
That's right.
Where they ask for it.
It's just right there, which is like, you know, it's another thing about family dynamics. We don't know family dynamics that kids might have. Unfortunately, that might be a family dynamic that mm-hmm. that child has, and they're saving their parents' life. But regardless, the whole point is that this is a whole. This is a thing at a library, and so we have ours in the lobby, and people come in and just take what they need.
Carolyn, this might be a good question to ask of Rails, to reach out to their members.
Yeah, there's been chatter about it, so I will follow.
To kind of get an idea of what mm-hmm. other yeah. libraries are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got ours for free,
yeah.
and they
yeah.
installed it. Like, we didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, we've had groups that reach out to us about having opioid medication, anti-opioid medication on staff. And people have reached out to us about doing trainings and stuff, so this isn't news to us. But
do you have to proactively request to have it refilled when the time comes? Or?
I think so. Okay. Like, somebody will be like, hey, that was our last one. Like, do you have another one? We'll be like, yeah, I think so. Hmm. We'll try to find one. But it's really easy to call King County. Aurora reports to King County. Health department. Yeah.
Great. That's amazing.
Yep.
Interesting.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Sign of the times. All right. So that was just the memo from Roger. Reports and questions from the trustees.
I would like to answer Trustees Olson about the $6 million. At the ESLAC, we talked about what's going on. First of all, that $6 million is to wind up the operations of the agency.
Mm. Can I just make a, we, in our orientation, we talked about ILMS and how that's a resource for us. And then Joe asked a question about $6 million being taken away. So Dave had some information that he was gonna share. So I just wanted to fill you in.
Right. That money be used to wind up the operations of ILMS. Now, the State Library, our committee, we had a very long discussion on, okay, if that money goes away, what do we do? And we had quite a long discussion on the various programs. And Mr. McCormick kind of like, he said one thing, are there people, how many people are attached to a particular program, trying to protect them? Interlibrary loans, delivery, is one of the top things. We're lucky here in the state of Illinois that our legislature will, might come up with some of the money to cover this stuff. There are some states, their state library depends on the grant they get from the federal government. So in those states, it might go away. I'll keep you informed, but right now it's kind of like there's money we're operating because the state library did receive funds for this current fiscal year. That money was released. They were holding it up, but they got that money released. So I'll keep you up to date.
I attended the Laconi events for trustees on May 30th, a very excellent event. We heard two authors rounded up the Laconi discussion, very prestigious authors, and we sat at a table, Trustee Olson and Trustee Boyer and myself, with a group of two other libraries, so it was very good, a lot of interaction and positive.
I wanted to make a comment because I want people to be clear on, if they're not already, on where I come from. I think that there's no question in my mind that our, meaning the library's, most important resource is the taxpayers and the public that we serve. Because without those two parties, number one, we have no funding to operate, and number two, we have no one to serve. I think that it's important that as we act, that we keep that in mind. They're probably number two is the employee body that we have, but I think that their taxpayers are number one. So that's it.
Trustee Boyer, you were going to say something?
Just wanted to say thanks again for the SRA stuff. My kids and I, we do it every year. I make my husband try to do that, but you know, it's hard. but every year it's really nice to see the SRA decorations and the program up and running. So thank you all for your work. And I'm really happy to see, is it a marketing full-time assistant up? I think that's great. I think people just need help as much as possible. So getting an assistant in here was a good move.
Anyone else?
Mallory and I do not have anything tonight, right?
I was just gonna say a nice thing.
Okay, go ahead.
About summer reading as well. It's like, I saw a joke once that was the best of times, it was the worst of times, it was summer reading. It's a very busy time of the year. I think we've done a really great job making the library look very festive for the occasion upstairs in youth services and downstairs, and all of our staff are working really hard amongst, you know, doing other things like launching seed libraries and other outreach events and things like that. So, you know, way to go to our staff. It's not over yet.
Yeah. It does look fun. You guys make it fun.
It's like singing.
I wasn't, and then Monica brought up summer reading.
Good. All right. We're good.
Okay, we're good.
Yep.
Moving back on over now to our action items. Number four, grandfathering 8 specific employees into the previous year vacation and personal time policy.
Yes, so when we decided to combine everything and remove the 20 plus tier and the 15 plus tier, it was my oversight that we did not capture 8 employees that were already at those levels, that had already been granted those days. And so in my rush, because I was so worried about the insurance, I was like, all right, well, we can just take away from here, not realizing that it impacted 8 employees who had already been getting their credits. So I think it's fair and the responsible thing to do to go back and grandfather those 8 employees in. I think the 20-plus people get 15 hours, and that is 5 employees. And then between 15 and 20, there's 3 employees that would get 7.5 hours. And I think it's responsible to give those days back to the people that had already earned them.
I'll make a motion to approve the grandfathering of 8 specific employees into the previous vacation personal time policy amounts.
I'll second that.
Yeah. I'd like to move to amend that or clarify that. And the clarification is that if in fact we approve this, that those 3 and 5 people are frozen, they won't advance. The 3 that are in the 15 to 20 won't advance to the 20 plus.
Because we don't have a 20 plus tier anymore.
But he's saying by the wording of this motion that people who are in the 15 would still fall into the previous policy of being another tier.
If we approve this, I don't want to see those people that we're approving this for move up into the next, getting another 7.5 hours. I want to freeze them where they are.
So in other words, because of the change,
there are 3 people, if I understand correctly, who are currently in the plus 7.5 hours, correct?
There are 3 people
and there are 5 people that are in 20. The plus 15.
Plus 15.
And what I'm saying is I don't want to see those 3 people, when they've been here 20 years, move up to 15.
In other words, they're already getting it now. If you move them up now, they'll
So basically, what the motion is saying is that the 8 people fall into this policy. So what Trustee Olson is saying, that the 3 people who are in this tier, by the way this motion is stated, when those 3 people hit 20 years, technically they would be allowed to go up to the next tier because they're in this policy. But he's suggesting to make an amendment saying the people at 15 years are, they get that, and then they're not moving up to the next tier.
Well, I don't think that's fair.
I'm just clarifying.
That way we're not taking anything away from anybody.
Yeah, they still get the amount they would have gotten. They're just getting it because they're being grandfathered in. In other words, if the tier that they're in now isn't honoring the tier that they were in, and if we honor it, then they're already at the max. So they wouldn't go to the max because they'd already be there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's the clarification that we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. We can clarify that.
Yes.
So should we just table it till next
week? No!
Joe's switching the table.
There's too many tables. We are not tabling.
I'm fine. I just said the same when he said the table.
No,
I was like,
I will not accept that.
It got windy over
no
here for a second.
No, I just didn't know where we stood with the tabling.
Is there a second to this motion to amend?
Amend or clarify. Is there a second to Joe's motion?
Sure, I'll second that.
Thank you. And we've already had our discussion. Let's take a vote on the clarification first.
Okay. Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Vaccaro? No. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
No.
Daney?
Yes. And now on the motion itself. We had a second, correct?
Yes, second.
Yes.
Dave, myself.
Okay.
And which motion are we voting in now?
Now we are voting on the actual.
Without the amendment.
Without the amendment. We had to do the amendment before we could do it.
Okay.
So now it's to grandfather.
4-3.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're voting to grandfather.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That was just voting to an amendment.
Okay.
So, Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Thank you.
So that's super.
Next, the 2025-2026 final budget.
I'll make a motion to approve the 2025-2026 final budget.
You're a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion?
So Trustee Olson and I had spoken, and he would like to table the budget. I do not agree with him. I think that the budget is complete and fine the way it is, and if anything comes out of the space needs assessment or planning, we can always amend the budget. I believe that the budget should be passed prior to July 1st when the fiscal year starts, and any amendments or anything that we need to change, we can always go back and amend it.
Now I'd like to talk for myself. I believe that the budget needs to be amended, and I will tell you exactly how I believe it needs to be amended.
When we spoke, that you said you wanted to table it.
I did.
Okay. That's fine.
No, I did.
Okay.
But I think that there are a couple of things that I'd like to point out. The budget was amended in a couple of points between the second and third version. One was we increased the calculation of interest income, and we also to $220,000. That's based on a projection based on actual investments that we have running to their maturity. And then those funds, when they mature, being reinvested at 3%, which I believe was probably on the conservative side. And I also did a cash flow forecast, and it showed that we're going to have an average of $1 million in additional funds that will be invested over the course of the next year, which would give us an additional $30,000, which is how we got to the $220,000. The other thing that I saw in the budget as a change was we had increased the tuition reimbursement from $10,000 to $20,000. I was kind of surprised that it wasn't footnoted on the budget.
Oh, sorry about that.
But I do have a couple of changes that I'd like to see made to the budget. The first is I would like to create a line for capital needs and include in that line the $300,000 that we have for bathroom renovations, the $50,000 for furniture and equipment, the $25,000 capital savings amount, and we have a bottom line projected for the corporate fund of $253,000 between the income and expenses. I'd like to take $200,000 of that to make up the $575,000 in the capital needs. The reason that I think that this is important is it would demonstrate that we in fact have a commitment to accumulating the funds necessary to do whatever we decide we're going to do. We can't borrow all of the funds, and I think it's going to be important as things are put forth to the public, if we go to referendum, that we have a demonstration that we're budgeting appropriately, that we are planning for that need. If we don't end up going to referendum, these are funds that could always then be reallocated, and incorporated into whatever needs we have. But this is simply a demonstration that we, in fact, are purposely accumulating funds for our need. Yes?
Trustee Olson, was it, did you make a motion to amend to that effect?
I haven't made a motion yet.
Okay, because I'm ready to second it.
Thank you. I've made that motion.
Can you email me?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll second that.
Because I can't get
that. The other thing that I would like to, because we, I'm only taking 200 of the 250,000 corporate fund budget. I would like, based on the conversations that we had with EOS today, to increase the line item for communications, that whatever that might form that might take, printed, email, text. Yes.
We already put 10,000 into.
I don't think 10,000 is adequate.
Okay.
And I'd rather, I would rather have a amount more like 35 or 40,000.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
I think that if we end up going that way, we don't know that we're going to.
Could we change the name of planning consultants to planning? Can we just take that 80? Because I don't think we're going to spend 80,000.
Well,
and then have, because we're at 32 plus 14, so maybe use that 50,000.
We could, but you know,
or just line item it separate and pull money from.
And I don't have a problem with that, but I still think that the amount's probably low. I would suggest if we did that, that amount should be raised to at least 100,000 from the 80.
So then that affects the surplus that you're taking.
Right. We would still have a surplus if we move 20,000 of about $31,000 for.
Okay. So what Joe, or what Trustee Olson, Treasurer Olson has suggested is consolidating a lot of the capital structure, capital projects into one line item called capital expenditures.
Capital needs. Yes.
And then you'll email me the amount, because we're just combining everything. And
right.
Then you are making, under
further,
the same motion, to
increase from 80 to 100,000
in the planning consultants.
Right.
Okay, so we do have a motion, and we have a second.
Okay.
But there's I understand he has got two motions to amend. One is about the capital needs. The other is about increase from 80 to 100,000. Is that correct, Trustee Russell?
Yeah,
no,
because there could be two different line items. Right?
Okay, we can take them separately. I'd like to increase the capital needs and identify that line as 575,000. And I'm making that motion.
Second.
Okay, so what happened is the original one of the budget was Dave and myself second.
Yes.
That's gone.
Well, that'll come back.
That'll come back
so
after
right
we
now
take care of
okay,
the two amendments.
Okay.
So the first amendment is going to be the capital needs line item saving with the 575.
Okay, so
correct.
It's Joe and then Lynn.
Yes. That's Joe and Lynn. Roll call.
Okay. Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Peg Bucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. Now the second one.
The second motion I'm making is to increase the budget line item from 80 to $100,000 for the planning needs line.
So I'll just change it from planning consultants to planning needs?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a second to that?
That was a second to that.
I need a second.
Give us a second.
I'll second.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. And now we go back to the original.
Let's Dave.
Doing the final budget, which is Dave and you?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Maloney?
What are we voting on?
So
just like the rest of the
budget. We have to do the whole
okay.
compass.
So now this is the whole budget as it's amended?
As it is amended.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for not tabling it. Thank you.
There's enough tables here.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought you were tabling that.
Next is the 2025-2028 strategic plan.
I am going to defer this to our esteemed assistant director as she has led the cause on this plan.
Thank you. We have worked with the managers to establish an activity plan for the 2025-2028 strategic plan. So it is a three-year plan, and so we try to have time periods in which we wanted to achieve the goals by and within, but we also wanted to keep some of the activities intentionally broad so that there was some flexibility in interpretation, because I think we're all aware that we're in a very changing time of the library right now, and so we wanted to be able to make sure that these goals across the board could fit as the library changes, while still being true to the actual goal. So an example of that is different ways to send mailings to the community, right? One of the things we've heard from the community is that they want to get, maybe more frequent newsletters, but that might not be feasible with our staffing levels. So trying to get creative about different ways, like is it a postcard? Is it, sending maybe just a half sheet flyer? Well, that's more a postcard, but like a one sheet newsletter or different types of things. So keeping the goal specific keeping the activity specific to the goal while still giving us room for interpretation. And it can be interpreted across many different departments. It's not putting the pressure onto one person in one department to achieve that goal. It lets different people kind of work towards the same thing.
I'll make a motion to approve the 2025 to 2028 strategic plan.
Second.
Any discussion? Trustees.
I continue to remain very concerned about the fact that there are no hard measurables in this. There are a bunch of activities that we might do. The dates, I think, are probably okay, but one of the things that I continue to be very concerned about is, and this is my perspective, an apparent lack of concern about the diminishing use of our facility and the materials and resources that we have, at the same time that we are adding staff and adding marketing people and not expecting any measurable result. And I have no problem with devoting the resources if in fact there's a clear expiration or expectation of what we are seeking. And I don't see that in the strategic plan the way that it's currently formatted.
From my perspective, I think keeping it sort of open and not necessarily vague, but keeping it widespread and open with this, I think is a good idea for one reason. Obviously, we're looking at a major renovation or a new building. Mm-hmm. It's hard to plan out goals whether we don't know whether or not that's going to happen yet. Obviously, as you mentioned, the changing status of our funding in federal government, I think probably for right now, keeping it vague going into it, or at least less specific with the goals, it makes sense to me on that end.
And I'd like to note that it's not necessarily, like, while we don't say we'd like to increase our marketing outreach by 5% of whatever X, Y, and Z, as I think Trustee Olson is looking, we did try to create specific measurables for what we want to see out of our own work, right? Going to at least 5 events with the book bike, having at least 3 different types of, what do I have it right here, meeting at least 3 different key demographic groups in the community, highlighting 1 database a month, right? We have actual numerical quantitative goals that we can reach as staff, and how that measurable comes back, we can use that to inform later plans and later decisions.
And it can always be updated, modified, mm-hmm. added.
And that's information we can put in the status. Hey, this is what we've seen. We've seen that Scholastic Teachables, the database is, you know, the usage has increased by 15%. That's stuff that we can include in the board packet as highlights and things. But I think this.
I also think there's a hole here in what we're trying to do. And one of the standards that we are supposed to be working towards in our annual request for funding is involvement on the part of staff in community organizations. And I don't see that addressed anywhere here. And, you know, I see things that I think we've done in the past that seem, from looking at these goals, to perhaps have disappeared. One being the outreach to the schools.
We were just at an event for U46 prior to this.
Where we're suggesting that based on availability of resources to hire additional staff, that we're going to try to do that.
We have a youth services librarian that.
Well, that was my understanding,
yeah.
But
she just,
you know,
started
this doesn't
on June
seem
1st.
To.
She just started.
June 1st. Yeah.
And then I also want to make a comment that when you say that you have concern because there is a lack of effort to.
We're working hard and we work
right.
towards all of these goals.
Madam
and
President,
we think
I'm
that this really
question.
Represent what our goals are as staff for this community.
I'm calling the question.
Okay.
Okay, we had a
roll call.
Okay, roll call. Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
This is to pass the strategic.
This is to
this
pass
is
the existing.
Pass the
yes.
This is
what we saw. Yes. Yes. Okay. DeParo, yes. Olson?
No.
Barry?
Yes.
Janey?
Yes.
And Fifth Third Bank Services resolution.
Okay, so we have a resolution that we need to pass that's in your packet to update everybody for Fifth Third. So I need a motion to approve that, and then nobody can leave until they talk to me because I need signatures from every trustee to get the documents.
I'll make
and
a motion to pass the Fifth Third.
I'll
thank
second
you.
It.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
No, I second.
Go with the thing.
I got it.
She's got it.
Okay.
Are we going to get
any
money
discussion?
For this?
There's
yeah.
No.
Are we getting any? Are we going to get paid for this?
No.
No. Let's vote on that.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah,
now
I want to make an amendment.
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
With regret, yes.
I'd like to make a request that the president of the board appoint a finance committee.
I agree that with all of the new projects that are coming up, the space needs and the outreach programs and everything, we do need at this time to at least start a finance committee where we can incorporate good thoughts and ideas under the direction of the treasurer, Trustee Olson. And should we find that nothing's going to come to fruition, you know, then that's a committee that we can disband. But at the moment, I think better to do it sooner than later, because if we wait until, should be that we go to referendum, now we're going to be running around trying to find what we can and cannot do as far as with the budget. And so I am on board totally to institute a finance committee. I would like, of course, for you to, because of your knowledge and everything, for you to head it. And I open it up to the board. Who else would be interested in being on it? And did you have an idea of how many of the board members would be wise?
Well, any of our committees, I believe, other than a committee of the whole, is comprised of the board president, the chair of that committee, and one other trustee. I think if we get to four, then we have a board.
We're looking at a majority.
If you get to three, you have a board.
So we can't do more than that.
So you're talking total of three or total of two?
I'm sorry?
Total of two or total of three?
Total of three. So I think we need one other party to serve on that committee.
I don't mind throwing my hat in, but I don't know who else is interested.
Madam President, I recommend that you, through email, think about who might be, you know, have people contact you through email, and then you can look at who you wish to appoint.
I don't have a problem with that. One-on-one, each individual person can say what they, how they feel, what they want, what they don't want.
And I would like to ask that Mallory be part of it as well.
I have no objection. More like well, a liaison.
It's a board committee. I mean, you can serve as staff or be a president of staff.
Yeah, but I just want Mallory to be there.
As a liaison.
Sam can sit in too.
It's an open meeting.
It's an open meeting. We'll bring the whole management team. What do you guys think? Saturday mornings. Everybody?
Three board members, you have to give notice. At least 48 hours notice. It's like any other meeting.
And then there's one other item that I think, and I'm not sure whether we need board action on or not. Carolyn and I have had discussion about moving our tax payments directly to being deposited with our investment account so that we don't have to go through the motions of moving funds back and forth. We can just move funds out. That also allows us to start immediately earning higher interest. Currently, we're still earning 4%. I would guess we probably will for another 3 or 4 months anyway. So because it doesn't look like until September.
This should be like the agenda building for the next meeting. This could be an action item on the next meeting's agenda.
I think Trustee Olson wanted to have a consensus on this because we're getting a tax payment like at the end of June, and we were going to try to see if we could get it changed from Illinois funds to the investment fund.
Right.
I like the idea. However, this was not on the agenda. And if it's not on the agenda, we can't vote on it. An issue like this big, this is a big issue. And just at the end of the meeting, bringing it up and voting on it, I like the idea, but I think we have to do it properly.
So if we have it on our July agenda, then we're going to miss out on it.
But then,
I don't know.
I don't see there's any reason that you couldn't get the paperwork together so that we could
be prepared
immediately transmit it after our July 21st meeting.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. But
and that way we would capture most of the second payment from Cook County as well as all of the DuPage counties. And that results in us having one less step in having to transfer funds.
Makes sense.
And then as a point of information, I'd like to mention that we were able to transfer on the 16th, I believe, or after the last board meeting.
19th.
An additional $750,000 to our investment accounts and immediately start earning interest on those. And that still left us enough in our NOW account to make the transfer we did this evening. So
I did get an alert that we were below 50,000, but I figured we'd be okay.
Yep.
Okay. Discussion items. Everything else is really for informational purposes.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Sure, if there's no more old business or new business.
Town hall?
Town hall? Mm-hmm. Nope.
Okay. I'll second the motion. You want a roll call on that?
Adjourn? Yeah, okay. Let's try. Let's test them.
Maloney?
Yes.
Fishman?
Yes.
McGuire?
Yes.
Carroll, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Name.